Fred Film Radio, Festival du Cannes, France.
You're listening to Fred Film Radio. This is Benedicte Bro, and I'm happy to talk today with Felix von Groningen and Charlotte van der Mersch to talk about Eight Mountains, presented in competition here at the Cannes Film Festival. Hello.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for the film. It was so splendid.
Really?
Yeah, deeply moving.
Wow, thank you really so much.
Splendid. Don't be so surprised.
I know, it's still new that we get reactions.
So
I realize I do that, like, really?
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah. It's,
where?
You work on it for years and then suddenly people say, great movie. Wow. You saw it?
It does go fast, you know, because we were still finishing the movie. All of a sudden it's so fast that you're like, yeah, showing it to the whole world. So it's
too much.
Too much.
How did you discover the novel by Paolo Cognetti?
I first read it because it came my way. It was proposed to me by one of the producers who was tied to the production company who has the rights. But when he told me about it, I realized I already had the book in my house. I had bought it 1 year earlier. Somebody had talked to me about it, saying, like, maybe this is something for you. I hadn't read it because I was like, why? Italian film? Me? Doesn't make sense. And I was conflicted. I wasn't really looking for a project, so I just put it aside. And then it came back, and I was like, okay, I should read this probably. And I read it, and immediately I was like, yes, I think I have to do this. And then I shared it with Charlotte. And then the final chapters, we read it together, right? You read it out loud.
Yeah.
In our van, as we were traveling in Italy.
Yes.
And we were like both crying at the end, like very emotional.
We're crying at the end.
And then a couple of days later, we drove up to Paolo Cognetti, who was just got back from the States, I guess, who was in his little mountain hut, and who invited us there to share. Yeah, just to meet and to share. And then he showed us the lake and his idea of the house and his village and the people that inspired him to write the book.
So Cognetti really supported the project.
Very he was an open. Amazing collaborator. But because he was there when we asked him to be, but he gave us like full trust but he invited us into his world. He presented this to his friends who were inspirations for the story. He also really took along the actors on the same walks that he brought us on. So he was extremely open because it was important because he's really Pietro.
Yeah.
And his friends there, two friends who live there are Bruno. And one of them has died during the shoot, actually.
Yeah, so it was very emotional, very personal, but he gave us all of his trust.
Yeah.
Really. So he gave us advice, he went over the dialogues in Italian, and he would always read and tell us what he thought or see a cut of the film and also give his feedback. But never in a forcing us to do anything.
No.
Just advising.
But we stayed very true to the book also, I think we can say. We've never had the urge to. Yeah.
So it seems like you were naturally brought to co-writing and co-directing together for the first time.
We just lived it, right? I mean, that's the amazing thing with this movie and how it like came at the right time in our life. On a lot of different levels, we wanted to write it together, and as we were writing it together, we were inside because we had we were writing during the first lockdown, so writing about this incredible story, we're like in our tiny, well, not so tiny, but in our house because we couldn't go out, and we were going through a hard time ourselves. But it really helped us to come back together creatively and to deal with, talk a lot about all these things that the characters deal with. And then I asked Charlotte, because it went so well, I think the writing, she really did an incredible job, and this idea of being two persons, being a couple and friends and lovers and parents, like it really made sense for this story on so many levels. So, and then I asked her if she wanted to do it. She did want to do it. And then we went out, and then we moved to Val d'Aosta, and we had to discover it ourselves, and we were longing for this, and we could live it. I mean, the movie even brought us to Nepal. So it's, you know, the what you see happening in the movie, it happened to us by making the movie.
I think it's very interesting that the concept, the Nepalese concept that gives the movie its title, is taken literally. It's actually taken literally. I find myself very much, I'm not going around mountains, but I could translate it metaphorically. And here it is, I find it interesting.
Yeah.
How can you, what can you tell us about this?
It's a simple question or saying that everybody, that really speaks to everybody very quickly, and
you because think about you recognize it, yourself,
yeah, or the people
right.
you love, or
yeah.
yeah, and sometimes in one period of your life you're more this or that, and in the movie, yeah, it becomes something at the same time literal and because of that very metaphorical, also because Bruno is really staying on that mountain and doesn't want to come down at the end, while Pietro is walking the other mountains,
wandering around the world. And I mean, for us, we could say that in general in life, Felix climbs his mountain, and I wander around to different mountains, and suddenly I'm here on this mountain. I'm like, blah.
The script is really beautiful. And one element I really liked is that it was the insistence on naming, on sharing language, on sharing words, naming things in a film where the central relationship is so beyond words. I thought that was very beautiful. I like the duality.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly true. So, but this comes originally, like Paolo, who's an inspiration, of course, is so much a writer, but he's actually a silent observer in his real life. He can be pretty silent, and then, you know, he just put one good line about what he thinks about someone we really loved that Bruno has, of course, like he's a farmer, he has a very earthy quality, but he's not rude. He can be very direct, but he's very refined, and so it's through the family of Pietro, it's his mother that who teaches him how to read better, you know. So the words and this culture of literally reading and educating yourself is really part of what Pietro's family brings to Bruno's life, and that he will continue taking with him. And what Pietro takes from Bruno is like building something with your bare hands, working, being in contact with the earth, with nature, and nature is not something which is different from you. You are part of it. So it's strange to call it nature, because we are all it. Why would you? I'm human. This is a rock. But nature, what is that? So this conflict is really, yes, this is very beautiful.
Why did you choose a four-third format when, for such landscapes, maybe CinemaScope would come to mind?
Because we discovered during the preparation that the mountain lends very well to this more vertical format, exactly, because it's more vertical, and that what you miss left and right, you actually gain in verticality, and what you miss left and right, you don't really miss it, because you know it's there, and it we had the feeling that it makes you lean forward into the image instead of leaning backward.
There's a bit more mystery.
Yeah. And we use it, I mean, it was a real rediscovery for me, because I used that format only for my very first films in film school, and I hated it because I always wanted to make cinema. But then you couldn't with the video cameras or 16 millimeter, but I didn't like it. And so going back to it was actually amazing, because we found a lot of freedom in it, in framing differently.
How about the mountain shoot itself? How challenging was it? Did you have to be patient to catch, for example, the moment when the sun divides into eight branches like this?
Yes, sure. So. We had some lucky shots, of course, but actually, I mean, the making of the movie was a very big logistical challenge, because we often film outside, and so the natural light was the light, so it was being at the right place at the right moment was essential, and getting there was a challenge. It depends on the weather conditions, of course, and and those change often. So we had to have a plan A and a plan B and at best a plan C. And we really, it was a very adventurous physical shoot, because often you would have to walk for be in a jeep doing like this for an hour, or it was also pretty dangerous at times, so you really had to be up for it. And I mean dangerous, just you have to take care of yourself, you can't just like sidestep and fall. I mean you're on narrow ridges, right? So and we were there, we drove to Italy with our, if you want to add,
well, it was
with
really
our camper van going there and preparing. I was we really went there.
Well, it was just about being clear from the beginning on to the crew and the production, like, we're really gonna do this. I mean, we're not gonna shoot on the stage. I mean, we're gonna go on the glacier. We're gonna go on in a mountain hut on 3,000 meters. We're gonna build this house at 2,300 meters. And you know, it took a bit of convincing in the beginning. But once everybody's on board, it's also that which makes the magic of the moment and of everybody involved realizing, okay, we're really doing this. And I think we were very fortunate with our actors also, who understood that from the beginning. And like Luca plays Pietro, he arrived like more or less like when we arrived, and he went walking all the time with the writer.
Preparing for months,
walking for months. Like this guy walked so much in this movie, and he had to, because like in Nepal we would send him over and over, like, again the mountain up with your big backpack, and it's in the movie but only a couple of shots, but he did it like hours and hours and hours. So this physical, surrendering to this is what this movie is gonna take. I mean, this was clear for everybody, and it was an incredible experience.
Coming back on one important theme in the film, it's the theme of paternity.
Also because, Felix, it's a theme that has been running through your filmography quite a bit, and there's a duality there as well. Like, everything Pietro is missing and everything he has, he owes it to his father.
Yeah, well, I think we both lost our fathers a while ago, and so we have been going through the process, like Pietro, as adults, going through it like, what did I miss? What am I still angry about? How can I forgive him? Am I like him?
What do I want to do differently?
Indeed, can I be a different person? Or am I destined to be the same person and follow the same path, right? So this is this is something indeed that for Felix has been important, but also really touches me. And for instance, the stranger in the city, the father has two faces. He's a workaholic in the city, and he doesn't really connect to his son. But then he comes to the mountain, and he becomes a mountain. He becomes like, we're going there, and then Pietro's like, but I want to follow, but maybe I'm not good enough, you know. So he fails. He feels he fails his father, and Bruno is a better son, maybe. So there's this all of this conflict, this triangular relationship. The father gets two sons, right? At a certain point, the best friend becomes the son. We thought it was my God, they should really shut up. Okay. And I mean, everyone has a father, and we put in all our own sensitivities to just make this as universal as possible.
That was Charlotte van der Mersch and Felix van Groningen talking about Eight Mountains.
Thank you so much. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.